The jazz world is welcoming the re-emergence of a musician who had been absent from the scene for so long, many of his fans thought he was dead. For 30 years, alto saxophonist Frank Morgan was in and out of California prisons on charges related to a heroin habit, supported by forging checks and fencing stolen property. Morgan's out. He says he's kicked his habit, and he started a new life. His parole was recently lifted, allowing him to take his first European tour, from which he just returned. He's also just finished his third album since his release from prison. Frank Morgan walked away from prison for the last time in 1985. He left with his playing intact, having performed in prison bands for inmates and visitors. He told me that jazz musicians in prison were given a special status.
In a sense, in a small sense, I was like a superstar in prison. People, everyone in the prison knew my name. Everyone mostly came to hear us when we played, even though everyone wasn't jazz fans. But it's like the only game in town, For a person to go back time after time, like I did, when I could have stayed on the streets and played music and maybe got a chance to see the world, I think that there was a connection that, to me, having found a comfortable place in prison, where I was like a superstar when on the streets I was just a small fish in a big pond. In prison, I was a big fish in a small pond.
You spent time in several different prisons. Were you always able to keep your saxophone?
No, there were times when I didn't have it, but most of the time I did. Most of the time it was made convenient. The prison authorities felt that good music helped to keep the prisoners peaceful, and we were used very much in that respect. There were times when the staff would ask us to put on a concert out in the yard if they felt there was a lot of tension, and it was effective. But that's enough of that. Someone else can do that now.
Well, it must have been a pretty interesting music scene in prison, especially in California prisons, because there was, starting in the 50s, there's really a thriving West Coast jazz scene, and unfortunately, many of the musicians ended up with habits like you did and ended up in prison. Were there a lot of terrific musicians you got to play with while you were incarcerated?
Sure. Not a lot. There wasn't always a great number of good musicians there. But over a period of time, there were a lot of fine musicians that I was in custody with. And sometimes it was as good a band as you could, you'd want to play with on the streets. I mean, in a small, maybe there was enough guys to make up a sextet of fine players,
Could you practice anytime you wanted to, or were there rules about that?
Sure, there were rules. We couldn't practice in the middle of the night or anything like that. But generally, I could practice from any time from 7:30 in the morning until 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, and then we would go to our cells to be counted and to have dinner, and then come back out at 6:30 and stay out until about 10 o'clock. So. We were able to get a good day's music in.
On the outside, jazz has become less of a popular music than it used to be, and it's really funk and rock that are getting played mostly on the radio and that sell the most records and get the most people coming for concerts. And I wonder if a similar thing happened in jail, if jazz became less popular in jail like it did in the outside world.
Well, yes, it did. And I think that one of the things that contributed to me deciding to stay out of prison was they're no longer the musicians that play the kind of music that I appreciate. Most of them have gotten smart and are either died or have gotten smart and changed their lifestyle. So I guess the handwriting on the wall was that I no longer needed to be there if I couldn't even play the music.
So it's like a musical generation gap in prison for you.
Yeah, there's a whole different set of things happening that I no longer feel that I can relate to. The prisons and the people have become more violent, and being a nonviolent person, I don't need to be there. I mean, it's bad enough being in a free society with all the violence going on, but I think I need to be where I have some other options, you know.
The last time you got out, in 1985,
yes.
You must have really felt like you were on display, because everybody was watching you. Everyone wanted to hear how you sounded. And also, people wanted to see if you could stay straight or not. I mean, I think, let's face it, when a really well-respected musician who had a habit gets out of jail, people want to know, can he make it this time? Was that a lot of pressure for you to be under, being musically tested and almost drug tested at the same time?
Oh, yes. It's still a pressure situation, but isn't life itself, you know, a pressure situation? It's certainly no more pressure than I had upon me trying to get together $1,500 a day, you know, to supply, you know, to buy the dope that I felt that I needed. You know, I have a set of problems now that are entirely different from the ones I had before. As an example, I mean, you know, now I have to maybe decide which agent to sign with, or which record company to enter into an agreement with. I like these problems a lot better, you know.
When you get out of prison on drug-related charges, are there people who hang around and try to tempt you back onto drugs? People who figure that you're vulnerable and they could make some money off of you?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, I was a very good customer. I mean, I spent a lot of money. I didn't really cause a dealer a lot of problems. If I went to someone's house, I tried to be respectful of their family or, you know, or whatever their situation was. Sure, so people don't want to really give that up. But God willing, that's not going to happen. I've spent, you know, enough money sending some dope dealers' kids to college, and I'm not sorry for it. I enjoyed what I did. I did it with gusto, you know, if you will. I did it until I completely got tired of it, and that's enough.
I think there's a real intensity in your playing now, and it makes me think about all the years you were in prison when probably one of the few real pleasures you had, maybe I'm wrong, was playing, because your freedom was taken away, but your instrument wasn't, and you could still play. And maybe that kept a certain intensity to your playing.
I certainly acknowledge the fact that in prison, the instrument was the thing that kept me sane, if you will. And the chance to play it, you know, kept me with hope. And now I have a chance to play it and to play it with fine musicians and go home, you know, after I play it and have a nice home to go to, you know, with a nice piano and a beautiful partner to share life with. And I really, I think that the intensity is just really starting, you know, because I really intend to play. And to play my heart out.
Frank Morgan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Frank Morgan's new album, Bebop Lives, is on the Fantasy record label. This is Fresh Air.